Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Good morning to you. Happy October. Try that one on for size. We have entered the fulcrum. In sports, there is no month more hectic and chaotic, and yet more exciting and energetic than October. It is my favorite month of the year, not so much because the work never stops and because the sports never stop, but because of generally the weather. I love the weather in October in the Northeast, which is where I grew up, but also really enjoy all things pumpkin. Yes, I am that girl. Orange is my favorite color. I know I do not decorate for Halloween, but I do decorate for the fall. And I love October because it goes by in a blur and then launches us into Thanksgiving month and we're closer to the holidays. And this year I have extra incentive, so I want it to go faster. But really, October, it's a challenge in our business, and yet it's so rewarding. There'll be a baseball team that is crowned World Series champion. There'll be so much that transpires and unfolds in both the NFL and college football as it's the heart of those seasons. NBA and NHL return. And so you have the four major team sports that are all operating in the same month, the only time of the year when that happens. But you've got the WNBA playoffs. Also, the MLS season that continues on. We just saw the Ryder Cup wrap up in Rome on Sunday. It's crazy busy, and yet it's so much fun. Infinite possibilities as we enter October and the fulcrum. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. If you did not stay awake for Sunday Night Football, maybe, just maybe, you thought that after you saw the first quarter, you were good. You'd seen enough of Taylor Swift and her entourage. Whoa, wait, Aaron Rodgers is there at MetLife Stadium too? Who thought he would get overshadowed when he returns to his own stadium, for heaven's sakes? But that's exactly what happened. The Chiefs were locked in early on. The first quarter really did go according to script if the NFL wants to continue to capitalize on the Taylor Swift presence. And by the way, I won't take time to talk about this right now. Maybe come Monday night or into Tuesday morning once our week four coverage is wrapped up. But someone from CBS Sports did an interview with the NFL. Again, I'll go back and talk about this more on our next show. But the number of impressions on social media, the number of ticket sales, jersey sales, even the number of Travis Kelce followers on social media that has grown exponentially in 1 week of an association with Taylor Swift is no joke. You can tell me, and there's some of you disgruntled NFL fans that want me to believe that nobody cares about Taylor Swift being at a football game. That is total BS, because there are numbers, actual physical concrete numbers to prove that when the NFL and Taylor Swift collide, the impact is astronomical. The ticket sales alone for people who just showed up at MetLife Stadium in order to catch a glimpse of Taylor Swift, that's ridiculous. Ah! There are people out there that can't afford to go to an NFL game because of how expensive it is. And there are a lot of people that never would have considered going to an NFL game if not for Taylor Swift. I mean, we know that families consider mortgaging or taking out a second mortgage on their homes to buy tickets for Taylor Swift concerts. They can't get to those, or their kids are disappointed. Well, then maybe an NFL game is the next best thing. There were reports and different stories on social last night of people sitting next to fans who knew nothing about the NFL but had bought tickets to go to the Jets and Chiefs on Sunday night simply because Taylor Swift was going to be in the building and they might catch a glimpse of her on the big screen, the Jumbotron, or in her suite. You can tell me nobody cares, but I think you're definitely in the minority. The NFL cares, let me just tell you that much. So yes, she was there. Aaron Rodgers returned to MetLife received with far less fanfare. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I saw a bunch of Zach Wilson's smiles later in the game, but certainly not early on where the Chiefs were able to get a Isaiah Pacheco 48-yard scamper that caused many, many camera shots of the Taylor Swift suite, which, by the way, even if you weren't a Swiftie, you got to see Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively and Hugh Jackman and Jake from State Farm and Travis Jake Kelsey's mom. It was a veritable suite full of stars, if you will. Anyway, she was fired up over Pacheco and the 48-yard run up the middle for a touchdown. Noah Gray hauls in a 34-yarder for the Chiefs. And there's all this momentum for Kansas City, right? Until one flag changes everything, almost. The Jawan Taylor holding call in the end zone leads to a safety for the Jets. You can look at that moment as the entire turning point of this game, because, and I'm not saying everything was going right for the Chiefs, but the Jets had no answers. After the safety, the Jets scored 12 points in 7 minutes, and Patrick Mahomes chucks a pair of interceptions. It could have been 3 interceptions, actually, had one not been dropped. It was as though we were watching a completely different game. And somehow there was this out-of-body experience where the Jets and the Chiefs changed uniforms at the quarter break. And I think this is fascinating. Maybe it has to do with Taylor Swift and football fans deciding they've had enough. Like actual football fans, not Swiftie football fans, because there's a completely different category. But did you notice on social, or did you just notice the tone, maybe the energy at MetLife Stadium, how all of a sudden Zach Wilson's become this sympathetic figure? Now people are racing to jump on the Zach Wilson bandwagon, if for no other reason than they feel sorry for him. They're just sick of people piling on this guy. Now, I will admit that I didn't have high hopes. And I'm still a little bit nervous for Zach Wilson because I'm not sure he can actually succeed in New York just because it feels like the deck is stacked against him. But you know what? He's a number 2 overall pick in a previous NFL draft. He knows what he signed up for. This is trial by fire, whole lot of adversity, a whole lot of critics, a whole lot of doubters. You know what? When that is what I face or what I faced in my career, it actually tends to give me extra motivation. And maybe that will be the case with Zach Wilson and with the Jets, because you can actually see his team rallying around him. So yeah, end of second quarter, into the third quarter, this was Zach Wilson locked in.
Paul checks in as the running back now on second and goal. Garrett Wilson, single wide receiver, split to the left. Wilson under center, takes the snap, back with a play fake. Wilson looking, throws right side of the end zone. It is caught, touchdown Jets. Wilson put it up in the air, and it's caught by C.J. Uzomah. And the New York Jets have come back from the dead with 6:26 to go in the second quarter. Wilson to the gun, trips left, single man right. They need the 2 for a first down. Shotgun snap, back to pass, fires, end zone, caught, touchdown Jets. Alan Lazard makes the catch, and the New York Jets are a 2-point conversion away from tying the game. Trips left, single man right. Wilson to the gun, gets the snap, back to pass. No, it's a quarterback draw. He's hit, bounces off, running left. Wilson dives, and he is in. and the Jets have tied the game. It is 20-20. Zach Wilson in trouble, got out of it, ran left, diving into the end zone, and we're all knotted up.
Seriously, listen to the noise from MetLife Stadium behind Ryan Radke on Westwood One. And that does not include all the Swifties who are sitting on their hands, A, because they have no idea what's going on, and B, because the wrong team, quote unquote, is making a surge. That's actual Jets fans. And Zach Wilson and the Jets offense looked like an actual pro football offense. It was really impressive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. They were lighting up MetLife there into the third quarter. Now, the Chiefs have the ability to settle into this ball control game, and they certainly did that. They were not taking advantage of all their opportunities in the second half, which is why the Jets were able to make this rally. But they did keep the ball away from the red-hot Jets offense for more than 7 minutes. They do the go-ahead field goal. And then comes this moment that I know a lot of people will be talking about. And again, he's an NFL quarterback. He deserves whatever comes his way because this is a job that a lot of people would kill for. It's a job that there are only so many, right? 32 starting jobs in the NFL. It's a very elite group of men that play this position. And Zach Wilson has this opportunity. So no one's going to feel sorry for him over his mistakes, I don't think. But the fact that he played so well and that still in the fourth quarter is this moment that he's regretting.
Three receivers to the right, tight end, closes the formation to the left. Ball snapped, and Wilson fumbles it on the quarterback exchange. The Chiefs think they've got the ball. They've got it at the 46-yard line of the Jets. Recovered by Turk Wharton. A bad snap to Zach Wilson from center Connor McGovern.
Nah.
And the Chiefs gain a turnover at the Jet 46-yard line.
Yeah, that's on me. Critical situation. I can't have a play like that. I cannot drop the ball. You know, and this team is sacrificing a lot. You know, guys were making plays. Defense was making plays. O-line was protecting. The receivers were making plays, and to be driving right there and to drop a snap, you know, I cannot do that. You know, I lost us that game, and I cannot do that.
That's not something you would have heard from Zach Wilson last year or his rookie year. So I will give him credit for his accountability, his maturity. Mitch Holtis, maybe his perspective is that it was a bad snap. It was not. It hit Zach Wilson in the hands. Zach takes responsibility for it. He dropped it. That's what he said. That's what he did. Maybe started to move before he was ready, before he had it. He kind of explained it in another question or Q&A in which he knew there was going to be some pressure coming off the left edge, I think he said. And so for that reason, he started to move. He was trying to edge away before he had the football. So he took complete responsibility. I do not agree that that's why they lost the game. How about don't get into a 17-0 hole, and then we could talk about why you lost the game. Or how about don't give up a 25-yard scamper to Patrick Mahomes straight up the gut when they're facing 3rd and 23. Don't get a penalty on 3rd and 20. Don't have a penalty erase an interception there in the fourth quarter. There are many other moments to point to, but that one stands out because quarterbacks always get more of the credit and they always absorb more of the blame when things go right or wrong for an NFL team. And yeah, it was the last time that Zach touched the football and he fumbled the snap. I will say anyone who still has doubts about whether or not the locker room is for Zach Wilson, whether or not the locker room of the Jets believes in Zach Wilson, only needed to watch the end of the game. As the Chiefs and Mahomes does this masterfully, are running out the clock and not giving it back to the Jets. And yes, they did get the benefit of an interception wiped out on a holding penalty. But as they refuse to give the ball back to the Jets, Zach Wilson is hanging his head. You can see it on his face. He's frustrated. He's upset. He's blaming himself. And it's a steady stream of teammates who come over to encourage him, to pat him on the helmet, to pat him on the chest, to pick him up, to give him a couple of words to say, man, this isn't on you. That did not happen last year. In fact, and it was a different locker room, right? Because there's a bunch of veterans now that came over with Aaron Rodgers. But they're also different in that they believe in Zach. Last year, it was the same, or it was a lot of the same guys wearing, was it bleeping Mike White t-shirts? I love Mike White t-shirts. So they were wearing t-shirts to support the backup quarterback because that's how much Zach Wilson was grating on their last nerve and how much they didn't want Zach out there. He was a punk. He was a bit of a baby, right? But he's grown up. And so to see the way that they are now embracing him and rallying around him, I think is important. That indicates that they're not looking for a big change. They believe that this guy can actually find a rhythm and that the offense can put it together. And we saw flashes of that last night. Though, of course, ultimately, it is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs who have the last word.
McKinnon is the running back to the right of Mahomes on 3rd and 8. Now they flare him out. They're going to throw it here. Mahomes steps up. He's at the 10, angling at the 5. Mahomes goes down at the 2. Sliding on his hip, McKinnon style, like Super Bowl 57, as Mahomes goes down at the 2 and should affect in the game, gaining 9 yards on 3rd and 8.
It was definitely a fight. We came out hot, obviously struggled. I made 2 just bad throws where I was trying to lay it over a linebacker and a safety, and I just didn't throw it far enough and hit the dude right in the chest. Stuff that you can't do. But I was proud of how the guys fought. I mean, obviously the defense kept us in it. And then the offense had 2 drives in the 4th quarter where we had sustained drives, and that's a good defense. So I'm proud of that, but obviously a lot to learn from and a lot to correct.
Proud of our guys for battling through the night. There were some changes in momentum there. We were able to get it back and did a nice job of swinging things back the right way. And, if I had to pick somebody out there, I'd pick Pacheco out for the nice job that he had tonight. And then for our corners for figuring out what they were doing and shutting them down. So it was good all the way around there.
Yeah, if you can win when your star quarterback nearly throws 4 interceptions. So there were 2 officially, but there were 2 more that very easily could have been picks. And when you blow a 17-0 lead, and when you are able to withstand what is a rally in front of a hostile crowd, forget who's in attendance, Aaron Rodgers, Taylor Swift, regardless.
Who knew Cupid was so big?
The Chiefs moved to 3-1, and I just am reminded as I watch them. I'm not telling you that they're in any kind of rhythm and they're fantastic for being 3-1. No, they've actually won some ugly games. But what stands out always about the Chiefs is they're impervious to pressure. This team has been in every situation on every platform that you possibly can. Patrick Mahomes does not feel pressure. He's one of those rare birds who performs better under pressure. And those are the athletes that turn into superstars. Yeah, this team, they don't mind being behind. They don't mind having the deck stacked against them. Whatever cliche, they are used to getting every opponent's best shot. And that's all right with them because they've got the benefit of having been in these situations over and over again, time and time again, like being down 10 points in the 4th quarter of a Super Bowl and coming back to win it.
Let's go!
Do you think that's how he ran out into the field? Last night? Good stuff. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we're asking you this question. Also on Facebook, 1 month nearly in the books in the NFL season. What have you learned so far? What stands out about your team? Of course, we'll continue this forward because we still have Monday Night Football to get to. Coming up, we got to race through some of the games that we have not yet talked about because that's our promise to you. But we also have to give you a little bit of the Dolphins and the Bills because that was your choice for After Hours Game of the Week. Vikings get their first win. The Broncos get their first win, both fairly dramatic and both after they put themselves in a hole. What do these two things have in common? We're glad to be with you on a Monday morning following this crazy NFL Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah. And I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
I'm here to tell you about Pom-Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom-Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom-Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Football season is finally back, and BetQL is here to help you win more consistently this year. BetQL is an absolute game changer if you're looking to find trends to help you win. Make smarter bets on spreads, totals, player props, and more. BetQL has already helped over 300,000 people with powerful analytics and community insights. Don't fumble away your cash this football season. Visit BetQL.com for their free daily analysis today. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com.
After Hours Podcast.
Play action pass. As time throws to the left sideline, complete to Diggs, but there's a flag trying to spin away from the tacklers, and he does! 35-30, 25-20, headed to the end zone! Touchdown, Stephon Diggs! Two receivers to the right, Diggs by himself on the left side. Here's the snap, picks the handoff to Murray, throws in the end zone. It's a trifecta for Stephon Diggs! A 13-yard touchdown reception! Can you dig it?
We had talked about it during the week, trying to capitalize. I feel like, in a game, things show up kind of a little different. So being on the same page with Josh is crucial, especially in those moments in the red zone. So capitalizing in the red zone has been a big thing for us, as Mitch knows. So, I try not to make it more than what it was, but it's cool there.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Stephon Diggs, he's cool with that. He had one incredible performance from Stephon, and Josh Allen, of course, with this, I would say, a little bit of an edge when it comes to giving that ball to Stephon in this first month because of the speculation over the offseason and the flap in the offseason and then in preseason. A lot was made of it, but when those two are connected and on the same page, it's dynamic. They're one of the best duos in football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. 6 catches for Stephon, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Buffalo never trails against Miami, though the first 5 possessions, bing, 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 touchdowns for first Buffalo and then Miami. And it went back and forth in a red hot start. Honestly, my favorite part of this game, even though, yes, there are plenty of offensive elements you could look to with Josh and Stephon and not just the two of them, others chipping in as well. They go 5 for 6 in the red zone, but I love what they did on defense. I love how stout and physical they were. The fact that they put more pressure on Tua Tagovailoa and hit him more, sacked him more than he had been in the 3 games combined. 4 sacks of Tua yesterday and holding the Dolphins to 3 of 10 on third down. They go 0 for 3 on fourth down, even with Mike McDaniel's creativity. So after what we saw the week before with them posting 70, 35 points in each half against the Broncos, to see them then turn around and run into the buzzsaw that is Buffalo and Orchard Park, to me, that was the masterful part of this game. As much as it's dazzling to watch Stephon and Josh Allen and the others on offense just rack up the yardage. Yeah, this was a bit of a wake-up call for Tua, and he admits it.
You lose in a manner like this, and it's very humbling, and it's for some, it's much needed.
The only down mark or downside, I should say, for the Bills is that they lose Tre'Davious White to what they believe is an Achilles injury. It's an emotional moment in the third quarter as he was in tears. He was tracking along with a Dolphins receiver and pulls up and can tell right away something's wrong with his right foot. And so that was certainly one that caused a lot of guys to get really emotional in the postgame locker room, including Sean McDermott.
You just wonder why. Because you watch him, how hard he's worked to get back. And, I know he's a man of faith and I know how strong he is. And, he will rebound.
Right now you've got the Bills and the Dolphins on top of the AFC East, both of them at 3-1, but no more teams that are undefeated in the AFC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, raving about the Dolphins defense. But if you want to talk about defense, and would you like to vote in our Monday MVP poll, because we had to include a defensive player and honestly could have included another. Haven't yet talked about Vikings Panthers, but Harrison Smith, the star of the show for Minnesota in their comeback on Sunday. So defense wins championship, right? Well, Khalil Mack, he was a one-man wrecking ball against the Raiders. Even though there was no Jimmy Garoppolo, there was still a quarterback to sack.
O'Connell looking in the middle of the field. Hit! And he is dropped. Sacked. Who do you think it was? Unbelievable. The sixth sack for Khalil Mack. A new Chargers record. A loss of 10. A new individual record for Khalil Mack in a single game.
It's sacks, but at the same time, man, it's a team effort. And you understand that when you out there, you have good rushes and you still don't get there. Just knowing that and understanding that from my Justin Tuck days, he said it's a lot of luck that goes into it. When everybody working together, you're the one that benefits from it. So I understand that.
I voted for Khalil Mack for the After Hours Monday MVP because he was a monster. Monster Mack. Oh, that's just wrong.
That's nice. Nice.
Mack attack, and the sack attack. Heart attack for Aiden O'Connell. Welcome to the NFL. Who's that? Well, I'll tell you in a second. But yeah, Khalil Mack, one of our candidates for Monday MVP. We put up a poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's also on Facebook. Of course, you can contribute write-in votes. Like I said, I wanted to see Harrison Smith in the poll as well because he was just as devastating for the Panthers in the Vikings comeback. The reason why it was Aiden O'Connell starting at quarterback for the Raiders is because Jimmy Garoppolo is still in concussion protocol, and we got to see flashes of what the rookie could do right away.
O'Connell under center. They're lining up for the push. He gets it from there. Touchdown, Raiders! Aiden O'Connell's first touchdown is a rushing touchdown. Woo! From less than a yard out, and they take the drive thanks to Josh Jacobs, and the rookie dives in for a half yard, courtesy of his fellow rookie Michael Mayer from behind, and it's 7-6 with 45 seconds to go in the first.
Guys just did a good job around me, kept encouraging me. Obviously, we got down in the first half. I think our defense did a really good job keeping us in the game, especially in the second half, and the guys around me are really good playmakers, so just try to get them the ball and make plays. But like I said, just a lot to correct, and we're going to do that this week.
The question was asked of Josh McDaniels, why go with Aiden O'Connell over Brian Hoyer? And he said he really likes the role that Hoyer has taken in, he's had a few snaps already, but he likes the role that Hoyer has as the backup kind of mentor, kind of veteran, someone that he's really familiar with. But we know Brian Hoyer has a ceiling, right? What McDaniels said is that they were, I guess, careful all week because they knew that Garoppolo might not be cleared. So they actually gave a lot of the first team reps to O'Connell to get him ready. And they felt more comfortable throwing him out there because he'd had reps during the week. it was a lot of Josh Jacobs, really, is what it was. So, yes, O'Connell has a one-yard rush for his first NFL score. You hear it there on Raiders radio. But it was heavy Josh Jacobs and leaning on Devontae Adams. And, yeah, the defense played really well. In fact, the Chargers were scoreless in the second half. Scoreless, as in Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and whoever else. They weren't able to do a darn thing. Actually, I don't even think Eckler returned yet. So, of course, he wasn't able to do anything. But yeah, the weapons that they had on offense, they could not find anything worth their salt there in the second half. And so the Raiders are able to make this a game late, but it was Khalil Mack. It was Asante Samuel with an interception on the Raiders' last opportunity. Just a lot of pressure on O'Connell. And maybe it's not a fair position to throw a rookie quarterback into, but I thought he handled it well. As for Justin Herbert, you may have seen the splint on his finger. So yet another quarterback injury. Got it caught in a helmet and had to get it splinted up and taped. And it looked awkward.
It's about a scratch, just a flesh wound. And flesh wound. Just got stuck in a helmet. But thankful for all the doctors and all the trainers out there to, you know, help me get through that.
I mean, he wasn't coming out. It was one of those things where he was.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone. And with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Going back in, and he has that look. I'm going back in. I'm good. And, you know, again, just to show that toughness to the team, we really talked about that going into this game, being a division game, and he surely showed it. And when your franchise quarterback, you know, embodies all that, you know, everyone else jumps along.
But the franchise record for Khalil Mack, single game mark with 6 sacks. He had another 4 quarterback hits in there as well, so a lot of pressure to put on a rookie QB. Though the Chargers, they're still all or nothing, it seems like. Justin Herbert had a pair of rushing touchdowns, had a lot of points there in the first half, but just unable to sustain that. And maybe that's part of it still being the first month of the NFL season. What did you learn in the first month? With still one game to go in week 4 coming up tonight. On Twitter, A-Law Radio to answer that question. Show Twitter as well, After Hours CBS. You can take our Monday MVP poll. It is available for you. I know Christian McCaffrey is the easy pick or Josh Allen, but maybe I'm thinking outside the box. And let's see. What do we still have to do? Well, we still have to get to Vikings, Panthers, Broncos, Bears, because weirdly enough, those were two games between two winless teams in each one. So we knew that two teams, that is so strange, right? You had your last 4 remaining winless teams and they were all playing each other on Sunday. It's like the consolation bracket or something. So that was odd, but we knew 2 were going to come out with wins. So there are only 2 remaining now. And then we absolutely have to get to Commanders and Eagles while we're talking about teams that that are winless. Got to work in the last couple that have yet to log a loss. Pretty impressive. The Commandos pushed the Eagles to the limit, I will say that. Let's see. Whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube, we're always happy to connect with you. We haven't even gotten to the baseball schedule. The postseason starts on Tuesday. That's crazy. No time for you either, Ryder Cup, although it was an impressive European win. How about the trade in the NBA that sends Drew Holiday to the Celtics? There's a lot that happened this weekend. It is just the beginning of October, so we'll catch up as we can. Catch us while you can.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hurts is going deep for Brown, and it is caught! Touchdown! AJ Brown!
You have options when you've got AJ Brown. And again, they go back to the double move on the outside. It's worked all afternoon. Double move, A.J. Brown goes and gets it, scores a touchdown. There is a flag in the end zone, however.
Let's see about the flag. It's got to be. It's not going to take away the touchdown. That's for sure.
Second and goal from the 10. Snap to Howell.
Cervag throws to the end zone.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown Washington! Jahan Dotson! Unbelievable!
Oh, my goodness! Yes!
Oh my, indeed! And this is why you want Jahan Dotson into the game. When you have two great receivers like Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, you give those guys a chance. This is the biggest catch of Jahan Dotson's young career.
Unreal!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, so many moments for Commanders and Eagles. As much as you all voted for Dolphins Bills as the After Hours game of the week, to me, this was the game of the week. This was some kind of battle in the NFC East, and Washington was up for the challenge. Something I noted right away, put it out there on Twitter too, is that Jalen Hurts was getting beat up. They were coming after him. He was feeling the pressure for a good portion of this game. He was on the run. He was getting moved around. They were bruising him. They were battering him, and they were making life a lot more difficult. However, the Eagles still do have a ton of great chemistry, and that Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown connection is lethal at times. A.J. was bold, he was brash, and that flag that you hear on Eagles Radio Network is probably one reason why the Commanders were able to tie it up with no time left on the clock in the fourth quarter. Because, yeah, A.J. Brown was feeling it, complete with a taunting flag. He had an awesome game, but he also hurt the Eagles in the end when he threw that touchdown catch or the ball from the touchdown catch into the lap of the defender. 9 catches, 175 yards, and 2 scores for A.J. Brown. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There are a lot of great moments in this game. We can't get to all of them, at least not on this edition of the show, but love to see Brian Robinson show off his toughness with a touchdown run to tie it as well. And then Sam Howell. Wow. Talk about a guy who is ready to stare down a challenge. Remember, he's coming off a game in which he throws, 4 interceptions and really struggled. And Ron Rivera said, hey, he's still a young quarterback. He's still figuring it out. Well, he figures it out all right. We've seen him lead some late scoring drives in games already in his young career. A 10-play march in 1:43. He connects with Dotson. And the snap that led to the touchdown took place with 1 second on the clock. They try a pass play before that. The clock stops with 1 second remaining, so they have time for one more. And I was watching it on TV. Maybe some of you were as well. The crew on Fox thought the game was over. They thought it was done, and yet there was 1 second left on the clock. So he's able to fire that strike to Dotson for the tying touchdown. Now, remember what people say about overtime. Oh, it's so unfair. If you don't win the coin flip, well, then you're done. No, it only happens 50% of the time that the team that wins the coin flip actually ends up winning the game. And in this case, Washington had it first, but goes 3 and out to start overtime. Philadelphia, well, they didn't look great at this point. They may have been exhausted, but they managed to fight and scratch and claw and get into field goal range.
It is a 54-yard attempt by Jake Elliott. Hold your breath. Ball is spotted. The kick is away, and the kick is...
win. The Eagles win.
Lights out.
Jake Elliott does it with his 4th field goal of the day.
We're still putting it together. Nobody wants to be playing their best football right now, you know, but we're still striving each and every day to fix the little things and head in the right direction. Like I said, we don't want to play. We want to play good. Don't get me wrong. We want to play really well, but we don't want to play our best football right now in October. You know, these are moments that we're learning from. These are experiences that we're learning from. There was a game in overtime that, if it happens again, nobody will blink because we're put in these tough situations. So you know, it's a learning experience. However, like we're 4-0. Like Nick just said in the locker room, we didn't win every way. You know, these 4 games.
I think a win like this does so much for the spirit of a team because winning is not easy. Winning is hard. And it's hard in this league, and it's very hard in this division.
The Eagles are 4-0, and yes, in the NFC Beast, you take that all day no matter what it looks like. So they remain undefeated along with the Niners, last 2 teams standing that have yet to pick up a loss. Cowboys are at 3-1, Commanders now at 2-2, Giants play tonight against the Seahawks. I'm assuming there will not be a repeat Taylor Swift performance at MetLife Stadium, and so the Giants can play in peace as they host the Seahawks. We'll see if they can pull into that 2-2 tie with the Commanders there in the division. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Merrill Reese is the play-by-play voice of the Eagles on that game-winning field goal. Plenty of drama between Vikings and Panthers and Bears and Broncos. Funny enough, because these were the four teams that had yet to pick up a win, and yet they may have provided some of the best drama on Sunday. So Vikings actually get into a hole. I can only imagine what Minnesota fans were thinking early on. The defense provides the spark, and it's the worst possible start for Kirk Cousins.
Cousins in the shotgun. Madison off his right hip. The snap. Cousins looking left, throwing left, and that's intercepted. Picked off by the Panthers. Going all the way down the sideline. He's got one man to beat. It's Franklin. He's got to beat the quarterback. Franklin stops. Gets a block. Pick six. Carolina. Sam Franklin. Take it back.
That's the call on Panthers radio. Sam Franklin with a 99-yard pick six. And I got to give Cousins credit. He sprinted his ass off. And he had the right angle. He was going to make the tackle until he got blocked and knocked over. Wah, wah, wah. Could you imagine what those guys think when they see a quarterback coming to try to make a tackle?
It's gotta be the greatest feeling ever.
Because it's open season. There's no rules.
it's gotta be the greatest feeling ever. Yeah. That's all I can say.
So Kirk Cousins does a face plant, and the Vikings are already in the hole. But they do have Justin Jefferson, and he is dynamic. You're welcome, Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk even has another interception before they get to halftime, and Carolina's leading. But the defense, so the 1-2 punch of J.J., Justin Jefferson, and the way that he can battle any defender for the ball. And then Harrison Smith, he was awesome. A sack and a forced fumble on Bryce Young that leads to a D.J. Wonnum return for a touchdown. He goes 51 yards, I think it was, something like that. The Minnesota defense is then really in sync, forcing a three and out, giving the ball back to the offense. Harrison Smith was everywhere. He was the Khalil Mack for the Panthers. Three sacks. Khalil Mack in the face of the Panthers is what I meant to say. Three sacks, three quarterback hits. They were great on defense late, and that's really how Cousins and J.J. ended up with the ball again. And Alexander Mattison, he had nearly 100 yards rushing. So Vikings get their first win. Panthers remain 0-4. They're now 0-4. And it looked like the Broncos would be their counterpart in the AFC. Get this. The Bears and Justin Fields have a perfect first half. No joke. Justin Fields had a perfect QB rating in the first half against the Broncos. And Chicago's up 28-7 until all of a sudden there is a fire lit under Russell Wilson and under that Broncos offense. But it still becomes about the defense, too. They were able to take command with their defense. Maybe that's considered a lost art at some point. But, yeah, the big play that you have to hear and see is a fumble return for a touchdown.
Fields under center. Crowd is quiet here. Play fake for Fields. He's going to be hit. The ball's not free. It bounces around. Jonathan Cooper scoops it up. And here we go. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver. Yes, sir. Nick Bonito caused the fumble. And Jonathan Cooper with the Broncos' first defensive touchdown of the year. 28-27. Chicago, 6:55 left.
Dave Logan with the call on Broncos radio. So, yeah, that had to be a relief for the Broncos. They tie the game on that sack and forced fumble and the return for the touchdown, and then later able to get into position for a Will Lutz 51-yarder inside of 2 minutes to go. This is crushing for the Bears. I know that it's not optimal to make changes midseason, and we're not even midseason, right? We're a month in, but whoa. A 21-point collapse at home against a winless team. So the Bears, with a late interception that seals that loss, you can imagine they're fuming there in Chicago. We'll do a lot more catch-up, and we'll get you set for a baseball postseason coming up tonight. Have a great Monday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!